And welcome back to another session of Little Heaven, where all things love, we speak about all things love, all things the nice things there. So having a healthy relationship, marriage, is not as simple as just wishing it into existence. It takes hard work and dedication by all parties involved and a whole lot of luck and blessings. But your marriage doesn't have to be a chore. It can be a blast too. With this marriage series, we are going to be speaking to seasoned couples who have experienced it all and worked through their marriages into making it a little heaven. Right? Yeah. So communication in marriage is like a gentle rhythm of dance where partners move in harmony, sharing their thoughts, feelings, and dreams with each other. It's the art of listening attentively, speaking honestly, and understanding deeply while nurturing a connection that grows stronger with every exchange. In marriage, communication is the language of love, the means through which couples express their affection, support, and appreciation for one another. It's the tender words whispered in the quiet moments, the laughter shared over inside jokes, and the heartfelt conversation that deepen their bond. So we are going to be speaking about all things communication in marriage. And once again, I'm joined by my lovely couple, Rodney and Lucin. Hello, lovebirds. How are you? It's so cold. Why are you not guys wearing
nice? Hi, Zanelle.
I feel so bad because today I'm layered up. You know,
it's
today,
super warm here,
today
so
I'm layered up and I'm like, you boy, now listen there. Like, I'm like, guys, so you guys have a heater, ne? You have a heater.
No, just us. We're each other's heaters.
Following scripture, I see you. I see you, guys. I see you. I see you. So welcome once again, Rodney and Lucin. Thank you so much.
Thank
and today,
you.
I believe we are discussing a topic that most of us struggle with, not only just in marriage, but just in life in general, which is, you know, communication. So to our listeners at home, if you're listening, we do want to hear from you. Let us know what your thoughts and tips in terms of communication, how couples can, you know, fix their communication, or why, in fact, they actually struggle with communication. So we are going to be looking at that. The number to dial is +27 734 703520. That number again is +27 734 703520. If you are listening on Facebook and YouTube, if you're watching us, you can drop your comments there in the comment section because we do want to hear from you. All right, so let's kick it up. So looking at you two guys, you know, you communicated, you're like, today is Zanele Somgena. We're going to enter here there without, you know, wearing jerseys. It's okay. It's all right, guys. It's okay, you know. So how did you two navigate, you know, communication in the early stages of your relationship, you know, and how did it evolve when now you guys decided to say, I do?
Oh, communication, the man's strongest suit. Yeah, but apparently women also suck at communicating. We'll get into that maybe later.
Okay.
But yeah, in the beginning, I think maybe in the beginning it was, there was a lot of assumptions, a lot of assuming that, that she knew what I'm, why I do certain things. I assume that, at least I assume, she assumes, everybody's doing a lot of assumptions. I think it goes back to on the expectations part. We had expectations, but we didn't really communicate them well. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to conflict resolution, there's some conflicts, and it was usually caused by really bad communication, misunderstandings. Mm-hmm. So I think we've learned over time how to deal with it, especially in marriage. Marriage, I think, was a time when we understood what the benefits of healthy communication is, as opposed to before. So before, maybe we thought a lot of things we can let them slide. And what we didn't realize that it's building up a bit of baggage in the back, which we'll eventually have to deal with.
Okay.
So I think we learned that in marriage now, especially now that we have a child, we have to do this hard communication, or else it's going to create some unsolved issues, which may be a problem later on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. See, Lucien is agreeing that we had to fix it there. But I know that, you know, all of us, we struggle with communication. And sometimes some people will say, no, it's a misconception that men struggle with, you know, with communication. You said that us as well, we struggle, which we're going to get into later. But Lucien, coming to you now, with the stereotype, let me put it like that for now, with a stereotype that we know as women that men are bad communicators, you know, how did you navigate that when you met Rodney and when now you were started, you know, you dated, now you're married, how did you navigate that he's a bad communicator thing that we have in our heads that men, shame, it's fine, okay, you know, they can't even communicate, but how did you work around that?
I don't know if like people have had the same experience as me, where as a woman you think you're good at communicating.
True.
But being loud and talking is not communicating. it's okay. It is communicating, but it's bad communication.
Yeah.
Right? So we need to also establish that there's bad communication skills and there's good communication skills. Mm. So over the years, as much as I am a loud mouth, he was quiet.
Mm-hmm.
So I would sometimes in the dating phase, it was more like voice out how I feel, but loudly and not in a considerable way.
Mm.
Most of the time in a mean way so that I can provoke a response. And how I would know that I've gone far is when he keeps quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was a sense of communication that, you know, now I'm not comfortable for him. He's not comfortable with continuing with the conversation anymore.
Yeah.
Because I'm not being constructive.
Mm.
So we had to learn for him to start talking and for me to talk less.
Okay, yeah? Okay.
And then after marriage, now we find ourselves, we are able to sit down. We had to it had to be beaten out of us.
Yeah. Not physically.
I was about to call the police.
Like, because yeah, we would both be frustrated and we'll realize that it's not helping. The way we communicate is not helping.
Mm.
But now we're able to like literally sit down and I'll be like, I don't like this.
Mm.
Then he'll be like, okay, but why? You know? And then I'll respond and he'll respond and we'll have a communication until we agree to disagree or we agree.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We agree, yeah.
Using scripture, I still remember that he pulls scripture, you know, whenever you I get it now. Now,
oh my
God. You know,
there are some things you can pull out scripture,
you have to deal with in principle.
Deal with
it. Of course, the scripture is pervading, all pervading, but I think what it does is it gives us the opportunity to ingrain like the principles of God in our minds.
Mm.
So even if we're handling situations, we don't necessarily have to say, hey, John 3 verse, don't say this, but then the principle remains the same.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think about from speaking to the both of you the past two times, you know, I got to get a little bit of things there. This one, G, because Nami, I'm loud, you know, we understand that Lucien is loud, you know. So were there any challenges when it comes to your different communication styles that we had to overcome as a couple? For example, we all know now that Lucien is loud, you know, overcoming such things when now she has to talk less or lower the, you know, the decibels so that it's not loud and everything else, and Rodney being the gentle, quiet one there. So were there challenges that you had to overcome as a couple when it comes to the way in which you communicate to each other?
I didn't say Rodney was gentle. I didn't say he was
quiet. Let me add on to that one.
Yeah.
There's an unhealthy way, because you see, especially men, whenever you're faced with a conflict, what I would do is have a cold withdrawal. You know what a cold withdrawal is?
Mm.
Where you're quiet and you withdraw from the conflict, so as to make it seem as though you're being the victim. You know, you're being victimized.
Oh, wow.
Even though maybe she was loud about it, and she was a bit aggressive about it.
Mm.
And maybe she did push a few buttons and rub me the wrong way. I would still take that on and become a victim and maybe think that I've won the argument, or because I'm the one who feels bad, that there's nothing wrong that I did.
Mm.
And that's bad, because you become a victim and not see the wrong. True. Even through, you know, through the, even though she may have delivered it in a really unsavory way, it doesn't mean that deep down there's something wrong that you did. And you need to still investigate what is the wrong that you did. So I used to do that in the past a lot. I would withdraw quietly from an argument, or from a conflict, and that caused a bigger problem. So by coldly withdrawing and keeping quiet, you're not addressing the situation. It actually stems from a place of pride, because you can't believe that maybe you're wrong in this situation.
Yeah.
So I would warn a lot of people against cold withdrawals. Those are some of the worst you can do. On the woman's side, or even sometimes it's even switched the other way. Sometimes women are the one who coldly withdraw. Even from the one who's being extreme, who's being nasty and who's being loud about some situations. That's an extreme version of communication. And then on the opposite extreme, being quiet and coldly withdrawing, yet not. So that was the two of us. So we're two extremes that met together and just created a problem. So we had to come together. One had to start talking and understanding that there's no need to keep quiet and withdraw. You're not making anything better. And on her side, of course, she had to now learn also how to be a bit more balanced and more tempered in her approach to addressing the situation. I think like that's when we managed to find a way to get around conflict resolution.
Okay. You're not gentle, so it's okay. I take back my words. So, you know, as people, you know, we have needs, we have desires, we have sometimes fantasies. You know, and sometimes we do have concerns, and one of the things sometimes you find that one would need to use that last 20 rand in the house, because for some weird reason someone decided to have some certain cravings, you know. How then would you guys communicate your needs, your concerns and your desires in an effective way, you know? Because now you've just raised the issue of, you know, withdrawing. Sometimes couple would say that, hi, this one agrees just for the sake of the conversation should end. You know, not that they're agreeing, or they would say, okay, fine, for the sake of, you understand, and also us as women, that if I want to use this thing or I want this thing, I will take the journey from here to Cape Town to Kilimanjaro and come back just to say I need this. You understand? Yeah. And which becomes a problem. Yeah. So how did you two navigate now the issue of communicating effectively your concerns, your needs, and what you want as a person?
I think for us, because we are friends, like we are best friends.
Yeah.
Communicating in a joking fashion for us became easier for us to like communicate. My parents raised me to be an independent person.
Yeah.
Like, I never asked a guy for money for my hair or to do anything. Even after we got married, I still struggled, you know? Like, when I need something, I'll be like, ish, I need 1, 2, 3. And then he'll be like, oh, okay. I'll be like, yeah, but I'll make a plan, you see? But now he has shown me that, okay, whenever I say I need something, he would then come and say, do you need my help?
Yeah.
Or he would even surprise me. After I say I need something, then the next day I'll just find it there. And that has made me feel more comfortable. So now how I communicate, I start with a joke.
Okay.
First.
Okay.
Our favorite restaurant, Spam.
Yeah.
Our favorite restaurant, Spam. I love eating there.
Yeah.
And he doesn't like it because it wastes money. Right? So every time I'm like, I feel like Spam, then I will laugh.
Yeah.
Then he will be like, I know you're tempting.
Yeah.
I know I'm losing a lot of money.
I know this where this is going. Do you want spare? I'm like, yeah, I want spare. Then he'll take me.
Yeah.
Or I'll be like, how do you feel having a woman with hair like this?
Yeah.
And it's like, do you want money for hair? I'm like, yeah.
Okay, okay, okay.
So it works. It works. It works. And I think it meshes with even my personality, because as much as she never needed somebody growing up, like she never had that personality of needing somebody.
Yeah.
I always grew up as somebody who wants, how do I put it? I want to be needed. That was my personality growing up. So if we have to mesh, she has to need me and I need somebody who needs to need me or who wants to need me. See? And then it blends. So it will make us both of us happy. Otherwise, if we stay on the opposite sides, like I said, it's not going to work out too well. It doesn't work out too well.
You know, there is this thing, ne? I personally think there's a difference between being heard and being understood and acting on the hearing. Gay. As English is, you know, you'll get it. Listeners, you'll get the question. Eh? Because we can speak as a couple and you feel that I have heard you. You know, I listen to you. Because there's sometimes we do tend to shut people off as they're speaking. Okay, fine. I agree. Already the conversation has ended. But then there are times where we actually do offer that listening ear, you know, as spouses. And then after the conversation, I felt like, yes, my person ungzwile, you know, they heard me. Not that they took in what I said. No, they heard and understood. But then there is the difference between me hearing you and understanding you than me doing what I heard you say we must do, you know? So how do you two navigate Lucen feeling that Rodney heard me? And he understood me, and he will do on what I have said. Or Rodney or Lucen saying, I heard Rodney, you know, and I understood and everything else. How do you two navigate the issue of someone being heard and being understood and you acting on what they have said without you closing off the conversation?
Yeah, that one's an interesting one, because I'm realizing now, as you're saying, being understood, you can tell it's different. So if I'm explaining something to her, and sometimes I struggle with explaining my deep feelings, because what I feel inside and exposing that I have a problem or a fault, you know, that I wish she could deal with better, it almost undresses me, which is not something that you want as a man in the marriage, to show that you have a genuine problem and you wish this could be so. And sometimes you expect it to be done automatically. So if I know, even through my actions, even if I suck at communicating it properly, if she understands, then I can even tell by her approach to it that she really understands where I'm coming from. But if she's just heard, chances are her approach will be weird, even though she's attacking it at the core of the issue, but her approach is different. It's not satisfactory. So what I've learned is, even the things that she tells me that she struggles with, usually I deal with them better when I have a similar experience. So she'll explain to me that, I didn't like what you did with this and this, this. It made me feel like this. Then I'm wondering, how is that even a how?
It's a non-issue.
It's a non-issue. I don't think I would react like that until that thing happens to me. And I'm like, okay, now I understand how it made her feel like this. And then my approach changes completely.
And if anything, in the past, when we used to date, I've been weird. I've been really weird. But anyway, I would want him to go through the fire, you know, and to go through the experience by fire, by force. He must go through it so that he can understand how it makes me feel, you know. So I would if I communicate an issue to him and he doesn't seem like he's taking it seriously, if he understands what I mean, and then now I'll try to simulate the whole thing. But now him being the victim, right? And then usually that will get him to like, oh, yeah, yeah, you're right. Mm. I've stopped that.
Yeah, it's ill advice. Don't do that.
Yeah, in school. But it was necessary.
It worked. Yeah. It was he's the wrong formula, correct answer, you know, step by step.
Okay.
Yeah, don't ever do that. Don't ever victimize the other person just so they can see what you're going through.
Yeah.
If you let God do it, he's got a way better way of doing it.
Mm.
And his ways are magnificent, and
true.
The person would see.
True.
So many of the times, yes, that she has twisted it so that I can become the victim. I've seen in a few times, but at the same time, it creates animosity between me and her. Because now she is playing the, you know, I can tell that, yeah. So I think God, in those situations, he does find a way of, so how I've dealt with it is, if she doesn't understand where I'm coming from with my issue, I'd usually allow God to, even though I speak it to her and I tell her about it and I effectively communicate, I'll allow God to take her through that in a way that he can convince her, because he's the only one who knows how to perfectly convince her as to what I'm actually going through myself and vice versa.
Yeah. So these days I've heard quite a number of people, even pastors and so forth and so on, you know, advocating for couple therapy, even when things are doing good, you know, and everything else. And besides that, we do tend to seek outside help sometimes when we feel like, hey, we are here, you know, we are stuck somewhere. So did you guys ever find yourself seeking outside help to deal with your communication in the couple? And outside help, not necessarily going to sit in front of a psychologist or anything, maybe asking, you know, your sister, it's like, how do I communicate with this man so he can hear me? Because, hey, men, you know, you men. Anyway, or how do you communicate with this woman, you know, because she's just not getting it, you know? Did you ever find yourself where you sought help outside of your marriage in terms of how can you two best communicate? And did that help, or it was just like same as before?
For me personally, I've not went out to ask about how best can I communicate with him.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we've had certain issues in our marriage, even in our relationship before marriage, that I felt like I needed a shoulder to just cry on and talk about what I'm going through. Not necessarily that I need your advice. Just, you know, let whatever I'm going through out. But communication-wise, you know, he's had a journey. We've had a journey, the both of us, with God, where when we were dating, everything was bad. Everything was bad. Like, every aspect of the relationship was bad. We were just hanging on because, you know, we did make vows to each other, and we actually did love each other. But when God now entered the chat, it changed everything. It changed everything. He would pray for each other, would pray together, would everything involved God. And the more you understand God and how he works, and when the Spirit moves you, you then learn certain things that nobody can really teach you, you know? They come almost naturally. And even when you look back, like, few years later, I've changed a lot. Like, this is me now. And you don't even know where things change. Because, you know, with people, especially if you don't really seek professional help. Even if you seek professional help sometimes, because as now we're Christian and Adventist, you seek somebody who's secular, who believes in certain bad advice. You can seek advice from that cousin of yours who doesn't even like your marriage, you know? So for us, it was a non-start to go outside to seek, like, advice per se. So we just relied on God.
I would agree with that, because I had a problem originally. My biggest problem was, I read an Adventist home where it says that we should my son is walking.
It's the boy. It's okay. Hi son.
Yeah.
Yes, hello.
So naturally So when I read there, it said that you see your wife or your spouse's secrets, you have to take them with you to the grave.
True.
So now I could relate with that. So Lucille, on the other hand, she was one who does like discussing with people because it makes her feel better.
Mm.
And I'm fine. I was fine with that. But essentially what we, because in the beginning, we never even went for couples counseling before or even after.
Mm-hmm.
We never did that. So not that you shouldn't do it. You should totally do it. If we did it, I think we'd have avoided a lot of problems. We'd have avoided so many problems. So those who are trying to, or even within, go to couples counseling with the pastors and all that, it helps.
Mm.
So the biggest problem that we had in our marriage, I think it was a financial issue.
Mm.
We wanted to actually go for counseling. We actually contacted one of our pastors and we prayed. But just before we went to that meeting with him, somehow the issue was resolved.
Yeah.
And the issue stemmed from a character flaw. It was a deep character flaw. It was a character flaw, which is something that even if the pastor did point out, it cannot be fixed if the Holy Spirit doesn't, if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to fix it.
Mm.
So we did set up an appointment. That was the biggest our challenge that we had. And it was very pivotal. It could have ruined everything.
Mm.
And that once it's, once the Holy Spirit changed that, we didn't even need that. So in my experience, your first go-to, nobody can keep your secrets and give you advice the way God can.
Hey.
So I tell my people all the time, I tell my friends all the time, they say, I need to go. You can go and see as many counselors, as many pastors, as many, so many people, your friends and stuff. They can all tell you one or the same thing. It won't matter.
Mm.
Not that advice doesn't matter, but none of it can change you the way God can change you. So your first go-to, if you do believe strongly enough, I think just go to God. He can take care of all those issues. So with us, we've learned to keep the things as much between us as possible and with God.
Yeah.
It's really that dire that we have to go out. I don't think any one of us has a problem with that, especially if the counselor in that sense is God.
Wow. Right. To our listeners at home, you can send through your comments on +27 734 70 3520. We're speaking about all things communication in relationships. If you are also watching on Facebook there or YouTube, you can also drop your comments on the comment section. We can also be, we'll also be taking that. So I'll be taking them in the next few minutes or so. So seeing that, you know, yesterday I remember when I was speaking to Naya about Little Heaven, I was like, they started off as being friends, also me and my husband, you know, we started off as being friends and it made things a little bit easier. Not that it was easy, but a little bit easier. So if there is a couple out there that you guys would give tips to, you know, because I remember the last time we didn't give tips in terms of... effective communication, what would it be? For example, me, I'm that one when there is an issue. You know, that issue that it's like, was as kulum. There's those things I think people would understand. There are issues where, you know, we talk, you know, pillow talk and stuff, but there are those people like, come, let's talk. You know, where it needs a sitting down situation, we do that. I found that I bottle it. And then I would text. When now I'm far away from my husband, then we do have paragraphs and paragraphs on our chat, you know, where I would send him a WhatsApp message detailing how I'm feeling or how the issue made me feel. And yeah, it will really be a paragraph. And I found that to be quite effective because when now I come back home or now we meet, the issue has been not really dealt with, but addressed. Do you understand? Because if I address it now, I don't know where it would end. I don't know how it would end. So do you have certain mini tips or something that you could give to couples saying, when you feel like maybe there is a communication breakdown, do this. Or even when there isn't a communication breakdown, the good communication that you're having now, you know, you could try this to improve it because nothing is ever perfect.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I think that, you know, ne, adult, grown-up children, so sometimes you can tell what kind of a person your partner is.
Mm.
And sometimes to get through them, you need to be gentle.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be softer. Mm-hmm. The way you'd address a child, the way you would, you know, because some people have egos and they don't really understand or know that they do have egos. Mm-hmm. And I think that the best thing you can do is try for yourself, one, to be calm. Secondly, to approach the situation as if like you're dealing with somebody who doesn't know, who is less spiritually matured. And that will help you be the bigger person. Because at the end of the day, you don't really want to lose that friend or your partner or even a relationship with your parents. So you take a step back and you try to figure out what's the best way to solve this issue. Without you trying yourself not to be emotional about the whole situation.
Yeah, that's true. I think, Mina, I would say number one would be don't run away from the issue.
Okay.
That is, it's terrible. It's terrible. You can never solve anything by running away. It will build up. So in my situation, I struggled in the beginning. And I would rather, like I said, cold withdraw, never deal with the issue. But now I found that it is more effective to deal with the issue. And number two, don't fear to offend your wife or your husband. Of course, the way she said it is true. You have to be gentle. But the thing is, if you bring an issue, you know that this issue is probably going to offend them, not because you're saying it roughly, but because you're addressing the issue in general. So you should address the issue and tell them if you see, after a lot of prayer, of course, in your approach, that they have a problem in this particular area and it's affecting maybe you, it's affecting the child, it's affecting even the marriage based on the outside. So you have to address the issue. And they might be angry, she might get irritated, but after some time, she will take it to heart. And if it is a problem that she sees a problem, she'll eventually change. So you have to risk that 2 days, three coldness or withdrawal, just so you can help the person out. And even you should be able to accept it and try not to get cold for 2 or 3 days. That's true. And the third one would be timing. Timing is very critical. So I usually employ the tactic of never address an issue. I like yours. I think maybe I'll try it sometimes if I have a problem. The texting, that's cool. It avoids a lot of problems. But I'm a man, so I can't hide behind WhatsApp. I'll explain it in you because you're a woman.
Wait, that's who's good. Hiding behind WhatsApp? Run away. I'm not hiding. It's effective for me.
I'm kidding. I'm going to use that one day. Don't worry, I'll use it.
Yeah.
So for me, I believe timing is everything. So if you're in a heated argument, if there's an issue that just arose now, maybe give it some time, give it a day or two. And before addressing it, please, positive reinforcement. Okay. Good words, kind words says to your partner. I think it helps a lot. She says a lot of kind things to me, which is imbalanced because I don't say a lot of kind things to her. And I know what the effect that it has in my heart. It makes me feel as though she actually cares and she appreciates the things that I do. And if she were to deliver a blow and tell me that I'm a nonsense after she has given me that, I won't hear as much of the abrasiveness than it would have had if she just came outright with it.
Yeah.
So positive reinforcement works. The reason why I'm saying timing, back to the timing why it works, even Christ used it with the disciples. I remember there was a time when they were arguing amongst each other who's going to be the greatest, you know, in the kingdom of God when he comes. And now while they're arguing, they're actually separated themselves from him. They let him walk a bit further. Then they would argue at the back. You know, Judas and his guys, they would be arguing. But Jesus, he noticed this, but he didn't address the issue immediately because their hearts, according to scripture, were not ready to hear his reproof. So he waited for a time when they were sitting down and they were calm and they were having it was neutral. Everybody was okay. And then he addressed the issue. He said, okay, you guys, what were you saying back then? I heard you were talking. What were you arguing about? Then they were ready to hear from his lips the correction that he had.
Yeah.
So I think if we follow his example, we'll know how to time our addressing of issues with positive reinforcement and not avoiding the issue. I think those are the few tips that I can give that have helped me.
Yeah. I think you guys have given me a topic that I'm going to be using in season 2 of Little Heaven, affirming each other. You know, because I think it's something that as couple we don't, it's, and you don't need to say, Yazumhle, today when I've worn that dress. No, no. It's not about how, as much as we like how we're seeing, you know, but just saying those things that, Yazi, you are good at what you do, you know. When we come back stressed from work or anything, you're like, Yazi, you've got this. Yazi is cock. You've got this. You know, it actually does help. And I think it's something that we must also do tackle there. So I do have a couple of voice notes. If you at home as well want to be part of this conversation, you can dial me on +27 734 703 520, or you can drop through your comments there on the comment section regarding communication. You can also give us your tips, you know, what works in your marriage when it comes to communication. What do you do that you think maybe some people can try it or not? It's okay, but we do want to know, you know, what do you do in your marriage to make the communication to be easy, to be effective, or to work? Because reading the newspaper the alone one. Anyway, it's before I digress. So let's take a listen to this voice note and then we're going to tackle it in a short bit.
My take on the question on why do couples struggle with communication would be that it actually stems from a lack of understanding that we are inherently different. We have got approximately between 4 and 16 variations of our character as people, because the temperaments that we have all stem from our parents, our grandparents, and their grandparents. So great grandparents are all sitting all the way there. And then when we meet as a couple, we tend to sometimes not understand each other in terms of how we communicate. Maybe during dating and all of that, it's easy. But when we get into the marriage, the aspect of understanding your partner's temperament sometimes becomes the very challenge. You will find somebody who's a sanguine, is very outgoing, very easily to communicate, and somebody who is a phlegmatic, somebody who's melancholic, you know, does not understand someone who's sanguine. So that actually stems, or actually becomes the root of why we struggle with communication, is the lack of understanding of your partner's temperament. And even so much so, their love language. I think there's a book that was written about that, the love languages, and being willing to accede to that love language and maybe accentuate what it actually means to communicate with your partner in their language that they understand, even though you're together as a couple.
Nice. Do you guys have love languages?
Yes, we do have love languages. Do we know them? Have we sat down? I need to do research and not guess, because maybe I've been guessing all this time.
Please no.
I need to do more research.
Yeah,
I need. We need to. Yeah, that's a really important one. I agree.
Yeah, I won't delve much into.
Do you know my love language? You don't know what a love. She doesn't know what a love language is.
Thank you, Lucin. Thank you. I'm there. I am there. I'm like I get the concept. I hear it everywhere. But what is that? And funny enough. My husband knows my love language, but me, I'm like, what is that?
I'll explain what it is in simple terms. It's what? How do you explain love language? Something that, you know, that tickles your fancy. You know, if maybe, I think I know what her love language is when I do the dishes.
Okay.
She loves that. You love it when I do the dishes. Yeah.
So
every time I do
out.
This, just her smile is so wide, helping out. That's a love language. Yeah. If I do the dishes, she's so happy. I can ask her anything. She'll do it 100%.
Right.
So whatever I think opens you up is, yeah, that makes you, you know, she loves me more after I do the dishes. I don't know how that works out.
Like, yeah. This issue of love
that's
language.
That's weird, yeah.
Okay, anyway, you know, so the listener, they mentioned the issue of giving, of knowing each other, right? So there is another comment in the voice note. So the comment says that give each other time and learn each other. even after, especially after the courtship phase when you are now married. So know each other, learn each other there, you know. So let's take a listen. Also, there's also a voice note that the listener has sent through as well. So if you also do want to participate, you can send through on +27 7834703520, or you can drop the comment there on the Facebook page.
And while we're on the subject of communication, maybe just on a lighter note, I remember a joke that was said before to say, you know, when the phases that you go through in marriage also address or are seen in the way you communicate. In the first year, you just got married, it's honeymoon phase. You both are listening to each other. When this one says, you know, you're quick to do, and this one says you're quick to do. And in fact, you try to limit as much as possible what you want in the relationship. Second year, then the man kind of realizes, okay, she's got a bit more words, right? So he tries to accommodate her, and so she speaks more and he does more. And then in the third year, Naye Ukatele is tired, and so they both speak and the neighbors listen, right? So in the first year, you both speak, you both listen. In the second year, she speaks, he listens. And then in the third year, they both speak and the neighbors are the ones who are now listening. Just some fun thought there.
That's crazy.
Jani, how did that happen? Okay, so it's a double voice note from the safe person, so we're going to be taking that as well.
Hey, Zanele and Jokes, good morning, and thank you for yet another installment of Little Heaven. We're enjoying it and continue doing the great work. I think on the issue of communication, one of the reasons I believe couples struggle, especially in the earlier years, and I think it's in all the years, is because we're adults, right? We, especially if you've lived in this modern world, some of us have both been away from our parents, where we were being told and restricted on how to live life. So we're finding each other coming from a space where we were individuals and masters of our spaces. And so our way has been what has been going. Now we have to come here and accommodate each other and have to, you know, deal with other human beings with their own perspectives on how we should live in our own spaces. I think that becomes a bit of a struggle. So that's what sometimes happens.
All right. We do say thank you there. It's a take that, you know, some of these things, they come from a very, very, very long time. So if you do also want to do engage with us as listeners, the number to dial is +27 7834703520. That number again is +27 7834703520. I must know it like my ID number. So now
the ID number though.
Yeah, it's, dude, like it's a problem. You know, this number every day I know it.
What are the first four digits?
You wanna hack me now?
Okay.
You know, before I take the other voice note, there is something that the two of you, you know, mentioned earlier, which I just want us to touch on a bit, because other people do also struggle with that, right? Let me put it like this. How far can you take what you tell your friends, your colleagues, your whoever, your bestie? How far can you take it? Like, how far, you know, because it boils down to communication. If I'm able to communicate with my person, not that I can't tell, for example, Sarah, who is my friend, as an example, the things that are happening, I can, but how far do I take it? Because now it boils down for me, why can't, if I'm comfortable in telling Sarah this, why can't I tell this person who's sharing a bed with me, you know, or a house with me? So how far do you think when it comes to communication it goes? Because at the end of the day, sometimes these things, they come back to haunt us. When now we have made up, Usara is still looking at you like, you know, when now we are at a family gathering, you hear people saying about two things, good, hey, ute, and you're like, how, Njani, how, you know? So how far do you think, do you guys think it goes in terms of the things you tell other people about your issues?
Not very far. Because and also you need to take note of the people that you want to confide in. One of my friends once told me that if you fight with Rodney, don't ever go telling your mom or your sister or your best friend what he did to you, Because tomorrow you guys will fix whatever the problem is, and then they wouldn't understand because they don't share faith with him. So they wouldn't be so forgiving. And it will cause a strain in the relationship when you guys now are back together and now you're happy and stuff. So I think from when we were dating, I didn't really understand that concept, and I might have stayed a lot too many people because I talk too much. But so now what I try to do is just, you know, like obviously I said before, he's my best friend, and there's nothing that anybody knows out there that he does not know. If there's any issue that arises, I tell him. If I'm happy about something, I tell him. And the outside world just gets snippets of vague, ambiguous ideas or pictures of how our marriage is like. And I think recently also saw a quote that says, like, I think you even mentioned it the other day, that you need to protect your husband or your partner.
Yes.
Like, clothe him so that people don't see, you know. So I think since I've learned that lesson, I haven't really went out to communicate to other people the things that go on. And if I could take some of those things back, I would. So even to young lovers out there, like, be very, very careful what you let out for people to hear, because they'll use it. They'll definitely use it. Like, even sometimes, you know, people are strange. Something can happen 5 years ago, né? And today they'll raise it as if, like, it's you. You are that person, you know, when they have seen an improvement, and they'll be like, you, who likes doing this? And you're like, but when did I do that? Because you have forgiven yourself. You have forgotten. But they would bring it back, so you don't even know if it's to tear you down or to teach you a lesson or to do what. And it's not nice. You'll be angry at people. You act like a victim, but you're the one who actually told them. You know, I even told my sister, I know this is a weird thing to even say, she was telling me that, your best friend will tell people how many abortions you have had. And I'm like, but you're the one who takes her to the abortion clinic with you.
Hey.
So how wouldn't she share that information, you know? So I think that some things are meant to be kept. And whatever you think is not too hectic or too sensitive, then maybe you can, you know, share with the closest people in your life, especially happy memories. Just snippets of the picture.
I think I would agree that maybe you can split into two different pieces of information. Because there's difference between going to somebody like your mom, the outside world, and talking about the flaws and the faults of your partner. That can be because you come constantly, or because you're expressing a certain idea of how they generally work. You know, they do this, they always do this, they are like this. So explaining what type of person your partner is, I think it's a bad thing. You probably shouldn't do that because you have privileged information. So the person is vulnerable to you. You see, so it's like almost like going around gossiping to people about yourself and the flaws that you have. You never do that. You don't go to people and say that I'm like this, I always do this bad thing. So it's the same when you're one with your partner, with your wife. You can never go out and describe the type of flaws that they have. You can't do that. It's it's like shooting yourself in the foot. I'm not completely against, although myself personally, the type of person I am, I never go outside and air my stuff to the people. I never do that. But I'm not against people describing an issue. You know, when we sit in court and people are describing an issue, they're not necessarily always trying to find out what type of person you are, even though they are, but they're trying to deal with a specific issue. So I'm not against her going to her mom if there's a specific issue that happened and she's describing it, although I wouldn't advise it. Because, of course, having external influence on the marriage is always a tricky thing. We always have God as our immediate go-to. And he can deal with those issues, because most of those issues stem from character flaws and things that we cannot see properly. So I wouldn't be completely against those people who have confidants, who are reliable, who are wise, who are godly, who can give them sound advice. Although I would advise completely against going outside when it has to do with issues between the two of you. It's a bad idea. It's always a bad idea.
Bad idea. All right.
But how far is too far? I don't know how far too far is. There's a lot of topics I'd stay off from. The first one, of course, being sex. You can never describe your sex life to the people outside. That is just, that's. I think that one, finance as well, and your wife or your spouse is temperament, who the type of person they are, because all that is privileged information. True. It's a husband-wife confidentiality. It should stay that way.
But the first one, we want to know Ngiyadlala. Okay, here's another voice note. So we can take tips, you know, how to spice up in the bedroom, Ngiyadlala. Here's another voice note that has come through as well.
Hi, Zanele. Yes, it's so sad how much most couples struggle when it comes to e-communication. You know, the sad part or the main reason why most couples struggle when it comes to this is because people do not understand how much communication is important, you know, in a marriage or in any relationship. If people could understand the importance of communication, then it would not be a struggle. Lack of care for each other is also a cause for struggles when it comes to communication, because if you care for your partner, if you are concerned for your partner, you will definitely make it a point that you communicate. Communication is not going to be a struggle, but it's going to come naturally.
It comes through naturally. Do you guys agree that there are some things that come through naturally in terms of communication?
I always measured his wanting to do something for me as how much he loved me, you know, like especially in the beginning. If we have an issue and you don't want to resolve it, it means you don't care if things blow out. Mm-hmm. So that means you don't want to be with me, you know. Mm. And I would always communicate that. I would be like, it's because you don't care. Then I get up and I'm like, then why don't you want to resolve the issue? Because most of the time, Ben, he would want to shut out and not want to say anything. But I think with time, we learned that, we should everything should be put on the table, even if it's uncomfortable. Even if it's uncomfortable, because we're trying to fix. We are not having the same mind.
Yeah.
And if I assume for you, you are going I'm probably going to miss it. If you assume for me, you're probably going to miss it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a magician. I'm not a sangoma. I'm not a
prophet.
I can't know what you want from me. Yeah. You can't know what I want from you. So the best thing is for you to say it. Say, what do you want? What don't you want? And I know we said no sex stuff, even in the bedroom, you know, you say what you want and what you don't want. Because most of the time we misunderstand each other. And if you keep quiet,
you'll be frustrated. Yeah. Maybe to add to what you're saying, like when it comes to the communication of what the other person wants, if you're willing, I think the previous one said, if you care about the person, that does something to how you communicate. In our situation, what I've found that is sometimes you assume that the other person, if they don't want to communicate or they don't want to solve something a certain way, you assume that they have bad intentions. So one of the worst things that can happen in a marriage is evil surmising. It's guessing that the other person is doing this on purpose to harm you or because they don't want this, you know, things like that. So you have to also, approaching a conflict, always assume that the person either doesn't understand, doesn't really know what's going on, rather than assuming that they're doing this on purpose to get at you. You know, that breeds a lot of problems. So I've also had to learn that even if she does something wrong, she's not doing it on purpose. She's not doing it because she hates me or she wants this whole thing to crumble or she wants to take my money or I want to take her money or, you know, we want to make each other look like the bad person. No, but because there's a miscommunication, there's a misunderstanding. And misunderstandings, if we solve them, I think it solves most of the problems that we would have.
Mm-hmm. So as we wrap up this conversation, I feel like, I know the boundaries, but I feel like we can't end it without me asking this particular question. And person, you know, you just alluded to it once in a while in your last answer. Now, how can couples best communicate, or how important is it for couples to communicate what they want in the bedroom? Because we have seen or heard, or got to understand that some issues in marriages, they arise because of what happens in the bedroom. You know, if you want your person to touch you like this, you must tell them. If you want them to stop, I remember we were attending one session there, a couple session, and they're like, tell them, go to 10 left, 10 right, you know. Don't laugh. I'm trying to be serious. When it comes to intimacy and things of the bedroom, what would you advise in terms of them speaking about it? Do you start speaking, hi Bozama, don't touch me like this when he's already touching you? Or is it a matter of before you even get into the bedroom, or even before you even start the deed, when now you're like, Bona, I prefer 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or after you're like, you know, it was very nice, but I prefer 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You know, what would you advise be when it comes to intimacy? Because it's an issue that we struggle with as couples, and the communication becomes so a problem when you say, babe, I want you, like, where did you learn that? Or where did you see that? You know, why would you, did you understand? It becomes so tricky to a point where we end up now keeping it to each other, to ourselves, like, hey, if I talk now, he's going to ask me questions, or she's going to ask me questions, and it's just a desire that I have. So what would you advise be when it comes to that particular service in the bedroom and the communication that goes with it?
This is going to be controversial. That's the respected members of the community.
Wow.
Respected members of the community, born.
It's like we're general members of the community. The community don't even know us.
You know what one lady said them, which makes perfect sense. That she said foreplay doesn't start in the bedroom. It starts before, from the morning until you guys go to bed. You know. Because I've realized something, women are not, they can't just, rise to the occasion. It's mental, it's emotional and everything. So the best thing is to say after, when everything has been said and done, because you would be able to identify certain things. You'd be able to understand where your partner is coming from, why certain things have to happen like that, and certain things have to happen like that. It's very difficult for women in the bedroom. It's very, very difficult. I think men have it easier, because I think they can do whatever they want, and then they're still happy, and women sometimes, sometimes not. But I think talking about it, not over talking about it, because I think there is over talking about it. Yesterday you said you don't like that. Today you say you actually like that. The next day you actually, you want different things, because you're trying to find the perfect way of doing things, But I think this is an advice to men, that it doesn't just, you can't just come back, you were moody the whole day, and you didn't even help in the house, and you didn't leave the stress from your wife, and it's a whole thing, it's a whole act from morning, from the time you woke up. A happy wife makes a happy home. Like you try to make her relax more. Massages, whatever is she likes, that tickles her fancy. Then you can take it from then. You'll find that it actually reduces the amount of times that she has to instruct you. Because she's instructing you because she's not happy, and she doesn't, also herself might not know why she's not happy or what's missing, But I think I've learned that it's a holistic thing. It's not just, she likes roses, so you come back from being moody in the morning, and then all of a sudden, give her roses, and she's like, oh yes, no, that's from the money.
All right.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Maybe our mind is short. I think maybe to just re-echo, I think you need to understand what your spouse is not saying. Mm-hmm. So reading in between the lines, what they're not saying versus what they're actually saying. Mm-hmm. Because that one, if you have a problem in the bedroom when it comes to sexual issues, it tends to build up inside, because especially as a man, you can't say outright what you necessarily want. Maybe some men can do it based on their personalities, because there's a lot of pride and there's a lot of ego attached to it. So sometimes you'd have to, as a woman, of course, you need to see, she gave advice to the men. Let me give to the woman, because I was about to give to the men. I'm like, okay, we're crisscrossing. To the women, they need to understand what the man is, what works for him. Need to read in between the lines, because men are not very difficult to unlock. They are very easy. Otherwise, it must be something that you not always discuss, like she said. It must be, because it goes beyond discussions, because discussions in themselves, they remove the mystery, they remove the excitement out of the whole thing about sex. Because talking about it all the time, it's going to destroy, because it needs to be more mysterious, needs to be spontaneous most of the time. So you need to understand, Vele, what makes your partner tick based on what they are not saying, even beyond what they're saying outwardly. Mm. I think that's what would work. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I believe that we have learned, every one of us. I don't know about you at home, but we have. And I would just like to take this opportunity to thank Rodney and Lucen. You guys have been quite a sport. You guys came through. You were like, we're going to open up ourselves. You know, we're going to give advice where possible. We're also going to tell people how we were able to reach, where we are. It's rare these days, and hard to find couples that are saying, here we are. We are opening ourselves, get to know us, and also on the public platform like this, you know, when we are all in our small cocoons, they are born. We talk about everything and everything, but opening up yourselves can be something else. And it has been a lovely 3 days. I won't lie. We've learned a lot from expectations, individuality, and today's being about the most important one, which is communication. So we love you. In the words of Unaye yesterday, when I was speaking to him, he was like, may God keep you, you know, may he keep you, and may he bless you with more loves and 3 more children. There one needs a sibling, but anyway, look at this. It's like, I'm dizzy, just like I'm dizzy, you know.
Next year, we're scheduled.
Thank you, please. But overall,
thank you so much,
family. Thank you for availing yourself as the Adventist World Radio family.
Thank you so much,
because we are also a family. We are saying, thank you so much. So, next time you do want to speak about something, Come speak to us, and let's broadcast it. Let's broadcast to the people. So thank you so much, family, for coming through and speaking to us.
Thank you for the opportunity. We have also learned a lot from you and a lot of the listeners and the comments. Yeah, we've learned. We're gonna do the WhatsApp thing.
Yeah. I'll give you more tips after that. So to our listener at home, they're saying leadership is saying next year to the baby. Okay, we're not going to entertain that one. Listen, be ready next year. Anyway, so to our listeners at home and those watching us on Facebook, this is Little Heaven, a feature that we have started, you know, focusing on marriages. And this was our first couple that we spoke to. Next week, we are also going to be having another couple where we're going to be looking at the issues of parenting, issues of in-laws. We know we struggle with them sometimes. Some people struggle with them. We are going to be doing it then. So set your reminders. Monday, Wednesdays, and Friday, we're going to be there. But for today, we are ending it here with this couple. Thank you so much. All the podcasts are up there on iono.fm. They are also up as well on Facebook as well as on YouTube. So family, thank you so much for being with us. May you have yourself a blessed
day.
Thank you.
You as well.
Thank you so much.
Bye. And then after this one, Justin J, we're just going to take a mini breather. And then after that breather, Pastor Munga is going to be coming through, where we're going to be speaking about all things temptations, right? That is what, in fact, we are going to be speaking about in a short bit.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.